Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
Well, we are excited to continue our message series. If you missed, that's fun talking under the speaker. If you missed our series last Sunday, you might be confused about this beautiful modern art piece here. I'm just going to say, I was staring at this during worship practice, and I was like, that's what I drew? That's mortifying. But anyway, thank God I'm not a prophetic artist here, at least not with the lines. We'll put it that way. But we're talking about the dash. And so I'm going to start out with a couple jokes just to loosen us up, and then we're going to dive right in. What do you call an apology written in dots and dashes? A remorse code. Yes. What did the quarter say to the penny? You don't make much sense. I was trying. All the laughers are on this side. It always changes every week. But the middle, you guys got to work on it because it's usually the sides. So we got to have a talk. So last Sunday, we talked about the dash of Thomas and Jesus and how if you look at a tombstone, you'll see there's your birth date, there's your death date, and then there's a little tiny dash in between, right? And how oftentimes we aren't remembered for our birth date or our death date, even though obviously those are impactful, but what we're remembered for is the dash in between. And so last week we talked about what story do you want to tell looking back on this part of your dash? What story do you want to tell when you look back on this season of your relationships, of your parenting, of a marriage, of your employment, of your attitude, of your health, right? And the ultimate answer that we concluded last week was, I want to look back and say, I encountered Father God in that area of my life. Amen? So there was a lot more to it. We talked about Thomas because we're talking about the encounters of Jesus between the empty tomb and him going up to heaven. So we're kind of winding our way. I was saying through Luke, but the reality is we're in John today. But the story is in Luke, but John kind of elaborated a little more. So it was a little easier to get into it. So we're going to continue forward in the encounters of Jesus. But our theme verse is Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, and I love that word. It means poem, poetry, a design produced by an artist, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. And that word walk means conduct my life. But Strong's explains walk as also to be occupied with. So which God prepared beforehand so that we would be occupied with them. We would be occupied by Christ Jesus and the works and the actions that he has for us. And Brian and I had a thing where, who's ever been a third wheel? Anyone third wheeled? Maybe it's a couple or maybe it's just like a friendship, right? The magic number three, if you're the third sibling or the middle child in the three siblings, you might be a third wheel sometimes. And my question is, do you have third wheels to your relationship with Jesus, right? What's occupying your life? What's occupying your dash? Brian and I used to say for the first year of our relationship, when we were dating, we had something, it was like a bit of like a passive aggressive pattern in our relationship. And we used to call that the third wheel. And we got rid of the third wheel in our second year of relationship and everything changed. And we're like, wow, passive aggressiveness is no longer the third wheel in this relationship. I know that might sound a little funny, but what is the third wheel? And if you're married or you have a friendship, is there an attitude that's kind of third wheeling along? Just think about that. That's not what the message is about. But I just thought that was also really helpful to think about. What is occupying your dash, right? But there's something that occupies our dash. It occupies every person's dash. You can't escape it. It can be the absolute best thing. It can be the worst thing. It can happen to you. You can make it happen. And it is change, right? Who loves change here? Okay, awesome. Who hates change? All right. Now, did you get married? That's my only question, because usually the people that like change, the people that hate change, they get together, right? Or they become friends. I don't know why, but it's this phenomenon that happens. We'll get to heaven and ask Jesus, right? Maybe it's because God knew that if you just married someone who liked change, everything would be changing so much. It would be like a disaster, right? You got to balance each other out a little bit. But no matter what season you're in, the world around us is changing at record-breaking speeds. So I was looking up some things here. That was kind of a fun research project this week. So in 1903, the first airplane known flew at Kitty Hawk in North Carolina. All right? That was 1903. Say 1903. And then in 1969, the first humans were in outer space. And then in July 1969, so that was April, in July, they landed on the moon. That's some pretty fast change, right? 1886, the first patented vehicle powered by a gas engine. 1886, say 1886. All right. 1903, can you say 1903? We are in geography. I don't even know, what was it? History class this morning, right? 1903, I had to put this in here. This is a good change. The first windshield wiper was invented by a woman. Thank you. If you were here a couple months ago, we had a whole conversation about windshield wipers. All right, that's a good change, right? 1849, the first basic phone was invented. 1849. 1927, the first transatlantic phone call happened. And then in 1973, the first mobile phone was invented. Anybody remember that in 1973? Awesome. All right. And now every single year, a new phone comes out with changes trying to break speed at changing. We're going to always be improving, right? But there's like jokes that it's like, what actually changed in this model, right? Like the earnings, yes. A couple things changed, but not necessarily for our better, right? One essay that I read says, an analysis of the history of tech shows that technological change is exponential, contrary to the common sense intuitive linear view. So we won't experience 100 years of progress in the 21st century. It'll be more like 20,000 years of progress at today's rate. If you don't like change, please stay here. We're a safe place. Hold on one second. All right, we're going to get to the message. Don't freak out. An article by Thomas Friedman stated, the problem with the speed of change is cultural angst with stressed societies, right? Delayed benefits because there's a lag in understanding. I mean, it doesn't matter if you have like the best medicine on earth if people don't understand what it does, right? Or slow legislation. So legal systems are actually being made behind inventions. Right? I don't know if you remember, like, there was a whole controversial thing with Uber or what. I don't actually know where that all ended up. But, you know, 10 years ago, or maybe 15 years ago, it was like, don't ever get in a car with a stranger, right? And then now we're like, great, let's get in the car with a stranger, right? There's change, and change is happening always, and we don't always like it or we don't understand it. So we're born, we're teens, we're in the middle of life, right? How about we hit that change of life? The retirement, and then we pass on, right? You can't escape change. So how we handle change will actually define our dash more than we think. Does that make sense? It's actually very important. So anyone want to go outside and just shout, keep the change, after I just read all that? Keep the change. I was going to bring a giant change bucket. Anyone here found random giant change buckets, like in your back closets? Anybody? Is that just me? I was like, are we millionaires? Right? Like Petro said, did it happen? Probably not. But I'm a millionaire with the blessings of Jesus. Doesn't have to be monetary. Amen? Thank God. All right. But change, this is the definition. Change. Make something different and the act or instance of becoming different. So it's an event. Okay? Change happens. Transition is the process of changing from one state or condition or place to another. Okay? So in this one book by William Bridges, it suggests that change is an event while transition is a process. It's a valuable distinction. I see change as the events that occur in my life and transition as the process of adapting to those changes. So change will happen, but how you transition can define your dash sometimes more than the change itself. Does that make sense? When I got married to Brian, if I had not transitioned probably till the day I die, because it's an ever-going process, from being single to being married, how would that marriage certificate change? Would that have meant anything? I had to get on board and make that transition, right? So how we transition and change will often define our dash more than the change itself, all right? So we're going to get into the Bible now. John 21, we're living here. I know I say that sometimes and then don't live there, but we are actually building a house here. So John 21. Outside of the Garden of Eden, the greatest change to humanity was the cross and resurrection, and the greatest transition was Jesus' dash between the tomb and this moment right now. We're still invited into that transition with Jesus. Do you know Jesus is in transition? He's in process, right? He hasn't come back yet. He's still in the middle, so he's in transition. And when we get born again, we actually get invited into that transition with him. Does that make sense? Growing up, I'm going to get in trouble because my dad's sitting in the second row. But growing up, my dad used to always like to say, we're in transition. We're in transition. And I was like, it was like a curse word. I was like, don't use the T word on me. I hate transition. Please do not say that. I hated it. I was like, stop saying we're in transition, right? Who has anyone else ever done that? We're just like, well, we're in, just in transition, right? If you're maybe a little bit more of like an ethereal person, it's like you can look at the world around you and you're like, you're just in transition. The problem is, the more I did research on this, the more I was like, we're in transition. I'm like, oh no, now I sound like my father, right? We are in transition. In fact, all of humanity is in transition since the cross, right? Since the empty tomb, Jesus is in transition and we're in Jesus. Jesus is in us. So guess what? The T word, it happened, right? Can't get away from it. All right, John 21, verse 1. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, have you any fish? So we're going to look for just a few moments through this passage and continue on in the story for four keys of how to navigate change and transition in our life, all right? This is going to be maybe a little bit more of a practical, simple message, but I hope it can give you some nuggets and some tools to implement into your life right away, all right? So what I love first about John 21 in this passage is that in verse 5, he called out to them, friends, have you any fish? Even when you don't recognize Jesus, he still calls you friend. Isn't that good news? Even when you don't recognize Jesus, he still calls you friend. I just thought that was powerful, and someone needs to be reminded of that. But when we look at the context a little closer, fishing is where Jesus first met his disciples, right? It says in Luke 5, you don't need to go there. I'll just read it quick. Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. And they forsook all and followed him. So the moment of surrender, the disciples gave up fishing and went to Jesus. But the moment change hit the disciples, they went back to the very thing that Jesus had called them out of. And that's the funny thing about transition and change. It will cause us to become desperate for normalcy and comfort in ways that we didn't know existed in our life. And if you don't think this is true, if you've ever met an American in a foreign country, they'll start crying when you talk about McDonald's. It makes zero sense. They may never have had a Big Mac in their life when they're on American soil, but the minute that transition happened, they are desperate for something to comfort them and something normal, right? I've eaten a Big Mac in the middle of the desert in Israel. I don't know why, but it tasted like the best hamburger I've ever had, right? Because I was desperate for normalcy. And that's what these disciples were desperate for. They were also probably looking for some provision as well, and they were hungry. So change and transition can cause us to become desperate. When life change happens, there is a deeper invitation to surrender. Because we're either going to be desperate for comfort and normalcy and go back to something we were called out of, or we're going to choose to stand and surrender to Jesus in that moment. Does that make sense? So we're either going to surrender or go back. You'll notice when life seasons change, it's like It can be positive or negative. You might start watching an old TV show. Anyone ever done that? It's like, man, I haven't watched this show since this happened in my life. But you know what? I just want to go back to that place. And you find yourself watching that show. Or maybe it's an old habit. It could be really destructive. It could be a fine habit, right? We just go back. Or maybe you call that friend or that person because you're looking for a normalcy and a comfort. And you're desperate for it, even if you don't realize it. And you're like, wait a minute. One day you wake up and you don't know how you got back on the boat fishing, right? You're like, wait a minute, how did we get here? Well, change happened. So when you're in a life transition or change hits, where do you look for comfort and normalcy? That's my question to you. It could be big change, or maybe you're in the room and you're like, not much is changing. Well, I hope Jesus is changing you, right? And transforming you. So even in that place, where are you looking for normalcy and where are you looking for comfort? And I believe this is one of the reasons why God calls the Holy Spirit our comforter, right? It says in John 14:26, but the helper or comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name to represent me and act on my behalf, he will teach you all things and he will help you and remember, and you will remember everything that I have told you. I believe the reason that the Holy Spirit is our comforter is because Jesus knows that life is made up of a bunch of changes. And if we don't have a healthy way of being comforted, we're going to revert back to what he has called us out of. Are you following? This can be a deal breaker in your dash. Holy Spirit is not a bonus in the Christian walk. Holy Spirit is central. Holy Spirit is not a bonus to the Christian walk. And if you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I want to invite you at the end to come up to the altar and we want to pray for you, all right? And we can explain a little bit more of what that looks like. But Holy Spirit is God on earth. I'm not preaching on the Holy Spirit, but the kids ministry is this morning and I had to work on the curriculum this week, so I'm not going to preach what they're doing. So we're going to get back to our notes. All right. There is a reason a name for God is our comforter because God knows that life is one big transition. And if we don't anchor ourselves in the Holy Spirit, we will return back to old patterns. All right? So just remind yourself, the next time you're tempted to go back to an old pattern, I just heard this testimony last night by someone. They were trying to break smoking for 40 years. They'd been addicted. And every time they went to smoke, they took communion. Every puff, they took communion. And I don't remember how long it said it took. It was like a week or 2 weeks. And they broke the addiction, and it broke cold turkey, and there was no withdrawal. They took communion every time. That's a lot, right? That's extreme. But where do you find comfort? They're like, you know what? I'm finding comfort here, but I know I'm meant to find comfort here. I'm trying to find comfort here, but I'm finding comfort here. Does that make sense? So think about that this week. If you speak in tongues, it's a phenomenal way, it says in 1 Corinthians 14, to build yourself up in the Spirit. It's one way that Holy Spirit can actually bring comfort to us, mind, body, and soul. And I encourage you to do it daily. If you don't speak in tongues, you can just sit in his presence and pray, right? Because Holy Spirit is with you no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like. Amen? All right, so number two, transition invites us to anchor ourselves in testimony. Can we just continue in John? Put out into deeper water and let the nets down for a catch, Simon answered. Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, because you say so, I will let down the nets. And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. Is anyone following with me this morning? I don't think so, because someone would have just tackled me if you were. That's not John 21, is it? That is John 5. A good little snippet is the nets began to break. That should have been the giveaway. Someone should have just taken me out right then, because in John 21, the nets do not break. So wait a minute, what is going on here? There is a repetitive pattern here that Jesus is showing up to the disciples in the exact same way. Why would he do that? John 21, he called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? I love that. Sometimes Jesus likes to just ask us questions. It doesn't mean he doesn't know the answer, right? He wants to talk with us. No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. And then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Can you just say, it is the Lord? and the net didn't break. That's also in there. I divided this all up, but it says the net didn't break. I love this because Jesus wasn't afraid to show up in the exact same way he had done before to remind the disciples of who he is and was and will be, right? It was in that moment of being reminded of a past testimony that John recognized Jesus in the current transition. Have you ever been like, if Jesus would just show up to me in the flesh, I would recognize him. And my life change and this transition that is really messy and I don't see the beginning from the end, everything would make sense. Anybody ever just been honest? Like the disciples just had it easy? Like, well, wait a second here. The disciples didn't even recognize Jesus until a testimony happened. That's how powerful a testimony is. It's the evidence of God on earth. Even the disciples didn't recognize Jesus in the flesh until a testimony happened. Isn't that powerful? So during transitions and life change, meditate on testimonies from your life. And sometimes transition and life change will hit us so hard that the world stops spinning and we can't remember anything God's ever done. That's okay. That's why, just look around for a minute. You're not alone in this church, right? That is why we are with each other in community. Call someone up from here and be like, can you just remind me, how did God show up in your life? I don't even care whether it's little or small or big or any area of your life. Just remind me who God is, because I need to recognize Jesus in this moment. You follow? There is an overcoming that happens through testimony. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, it says. I love that verse. But what's amazing is that the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony, the blood of the Lamb, we sing lots of songs about that, right? It's powerful. But here in this verse, it says, and. Can you just say and? The testimony. So it's the blood of the Lamb and the evidence of that blood in my life, what it is doing today. And if you can't see it, you are not alone. Look around and get filled with some testimonies. Amen? I don't know. This makes me excited. I hope it's stirring something in you. So my question is, what testimonies have you been repeating lately? What evidence have you been meditating on of God moving in your life? What have you been repeating lately? What testimonies? And how many know in life change and transition, have you ever been like, well, in the good old days, right? I don't know about you, but that's not necessarily meditating on God's evidence. It might be meditating on the evidence of past seasons, but we need to meditate on God's story and what God is doing to get strength for the now in the transition. Amen? Are you okay? Worship was like out of this world. It went a little longer than normal, and I hope that normal is a new normal. But we're just going to stay a little bit longer. Is that okay? All right, here we go. Number three. Say number three. I know I'm going quick, and I hope you're taking notes if you're in a change or a transition, because it's practical. So number one was, what was number one? That's not a good sign. Someone better shout it out. Deeper surrender. How are you surrendering to God? Number one. All right. Number two is what? Testimonies. Speak testimonies, right? And number three is letting go of the past. You cannot transition well if you are holding on to yesterday. I will never forget the one time I've driven in a stick shift twice in my life. Once I was in Ireland driving on the wrong side of the road, and I was learning how to drive stick. I don't know why the missionary, I was on this mission trip, and they were like, sure, you can drive the car. And then it was a stick shift and on the wrong side. So I was like here, and it was here, and I don't know what happened. And I never wanted to do again. But the second time I was with Brian, and I think this was even before we were dating. But anyway, I was with him in the car. Maybe he was dating. I don't know. We were in his dad's car. Talk about stressful, right? You do not want to wreck your boyfriend's father's car. And it was this beautiful old car. It had like 400,000 miles on it. So it was like a precious car, right? And we were going up 79 out of Ithaca. That's like that, right? It's like that. And I stopped, and we were in bumper-to-bumper traffic. It was sub-zero weather out. And I was sweating, and I don't sweat in sub-zero. I'm usually an icicle. And the car stalled, and I had cars behind me, cars in front of me, and it was on this hill. How many know that when you shift, you have to shift. You cannot hesitate. You have to do it. right? Or you were going backwards. I don't even remember how I got out of it. I think I blocked it. It'll come up in therapy later. It was, I've never done another standard. I was like, we will not touch standard. We will not talk about it in our house. It was very traumatizing. When you shift, when there is change, if you do not do it and you hesitate, you can end up sliding down the hill. Who slid down the hill? Life change hit and you didn't shift, right? No one taught you how to drive standard through a life transition. I wish someone would just write a manual on it. Well, maybe someone did. It's called the Bible. All right, so here we go, John 21. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore. That's a lot of hard work for those disciples. We're always like, yeah, go Simon Peter. But he left the disciples, like, you know, pulling the nets in. There are crowns in heaven for those guys because of that, probably. The other disciples followed the boat, towing the net, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals with fish on it and some bread. I love that Peter responded to someone else's statement about Jesus. It says, then the disciple whom Jesus loved said, "It is the Lord." And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say it, can you say him say it? He jumped off the boat. When you're in a life change, well, let me start here. When someone else is in a life change, you saying, hey, I think that little part of what's going on in your life, I think that's Jesus. You saying that can make that person jump out of the boat and get to Jesus. I'm not talking about hyper-spiritualizing something. I'm talking about being real, being like, hey, wait a minute. I think Jesus may have opened that door. I think Jesus is trying to say something to you right there. You can be a John in someone's life, right? But also, if you're in that change and you can't recognize what Jesus is doing, you got to get some biblical Johns, right, around you in community to say, hey, let's recognize Jesus. Why am I worshiping Jesus and why am I so enthusiastic when I worship him? Because I might be someone's John today. I might be someone's John in the Bible saying, I recognize you, Jesus, and you might get out of the boat, or vice versa. Does that make sense? You know, we don't do Thrive Night to put something else on the calendar. How many know everyone's got a calendar and there's enough on the calendar to never see each other again for the rest of our lives, right? Let's just be honest. Everyone thinks it's just them. It's not. It's all of us, right? There are choices we make. But when we come to Thrive Night, when we come to church, when we get coffee with someone and we're praying, when you're praying with your spouse, when you stop, you can be like John and recognize Jesus to each other, and that person can get out of the boat. You can get out of the boat. You following? I love this. I'll never forget when Pedro, he gave his testimony. This was a couple months ago, and he was in tears and he was sharing his testimony. And I thought, man, someone's gonna get out of the boat today because he just said, I recognize Jesus in my life, right? I'll never forget Caleb doing the exact same thing a couple months ago in a message. He was weeping. He was talking about alcoholism and all of that and getting delivered out of addiction. That was him saying, I recognize Jesus. You can get out of the boat. If I got out of the boat, you can get out of the boat. You following? And then Peter walked on water. Not exactly, right? I don't understand this. Why not, right? He just got in the water. Sometimes to get to Jesus in life transition and change, it's going to be messy. And you want that walking on water miracle, and you might just be called to just get in the water and just swim, right? Just keep swimming. That's not in my notes. Okay. But Peter not only swam to Jesus, but he swam towards the very thing that represented him denying Jesus. What are you talking about? It says, the fire of burning coals. The only other time that appears in the Bible is when Peter denied Jesus. They stood around a fire with burning coals. So he wasn't just swimming to Jesus. He was swimming to the very thing that represented all the triggers, all the trauma, all the mistakes, all the failures. And he said, no, I'm going to jump out and I'm going to swim to it this time because Jesus is standing right there. He's going to redefine what that moment meant in my life. You following? The last time the fish and nets miracle happened, Peter's response was to tell Jesus to get away. He was finding his identity in his past. It says in Luke 5:18, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." This time, he said, "I'm getting in the water and I am swimming to Jesus. And I'm not just swimming to him, I'm swimming towards my failures and my mistakes and my pain because Jesus is right there and he's gonna heal me so that this burning coals doesn't have to represent a trauma trigger anymore. He's gonna redefine it." Are you following? We can either let change and transition create distance between us and Jesus or draw us closer. Pain can either create distance or draw us closer to Jesus. It's a choice. And sometimes that choice is really hard to make and we need help doing that. And it's a process and that's okay. Sometimes you need a swimming buddy, right? We're going to swim together towards Jesus in this mess. But will you swim to Jesus? Jesus changed Peter's response in a time of change and transition instead of change and transition shifting Peter's response to Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. Jesus was like, "Come on, go help your brothers. What are you doing?" Right? How many have just been so spirit-filled? You're like, "I'm just going to give it all to Jesus." And then there's like me mopping in the foyer late last night. And you're like, "Wait a second. I'm going to go mop and then we will worship Jesus together." Right? He's like, "Go back in the boat and help your brothers." Right? So he said, "Bring some of the fish." So Simon Peter got back in the boat. He didn't leave the other guys to do the hard work. It was a full of large fish, but even so, the nets were not torn. Right? This brings us to our fourth place. Transition invites us to find Jesus in the simple. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Just say, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. Why don't you just stand on your feet? Thank you for just being a little longer with me than normal. I love this because of all the things Jesus could have done and shown with his newly resurrected body, he literally could walk through walls. He chose to sit and eat with his disciples. There's a place that we can get to, and it can be hyper-spiritualism. When Jesus is saying, "Hey, let's take care of your physical body during this transition and change, but let's do it together." Does that make sense? Jesus invites us to encounter him in the simple rhythms of life. When change happens, it can be really easy to just throw everything out the window. Like you don't go to the gym for 3 months. You don't talk to whoever for 3 months, right? It's like, well, a lot of stuff in life is happening. I'm just going to throw everything out the window. I'm going to try to survive, right? Have you ever been there? But instead, Jesus is saying, "Come and have breakfast with me." What does it look like to have breakfast with Jesus in this moment in your life? What does that look like for you? It's important for us to recognize a daily, simple rhythm that we can do with Jesus and to know he is waiting for us there already with something to serve us. He invites us to serve him too. Whether we deny Jesus or swim to him and eat breakfast is determined by our everyday choice to follow Jesus through change and transition or leave Jesus on the shore. I wrote this, that every dash is made up of 1,000 changes, 1,000 shores to meet Jesus on for breakfast. How are you meeting him for breakfast? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? I just want to close with this quote from Charles Spurgeon. "The seasons change and you change, but the Lord abides evermore the same, and the streams of his love are as deep and as broad and as full as ever." There is a place that you can lean into that's not changing when everything else is. So transition invites us to surrender in Jesus, to anchor in testimony, to let go of the past and find Jesus daily at the breakfast table. So I just want to pray a special blessing. If we can just close our eyes for just a moment. If you are in any kind of life change or transition, which I know I just said we all are, so this message is for us all, But if you're in a specific time where you're just like, this is really happening right now and I don't know what to do, I just want to invite you to just open up your hands to receive. Jesus, I just thank you right now that you are meeting every person here. You know what life change looks like and can feel like. Because as Jesus, you experienced changing jobs, changing careers. You experienced a bunch of things, Jesus, on earth that was life transitions. Even life to death and death to life, the ultimate transition, you experienced that. So I just bless every area right now that you are desperate for comfort and normalcy to encounter Jesus and Holy Spirit as your comforter. I bless every seed of doubt and discouragement to dissolve in the testimony and the evidence of God working right now in your life. God, I thank you right now that you are breaking bonds and shackles with the past in mindsets, in attitudes, in lifestyle choices. God, we thank you that we do not need to cling to the past. We can let go of it. And we can get out of the boat. And God, I thank you that any area in our life that has been defined by pain, God, you are redefining in your love and your mercy, in your gentleness and compassion, but also in your power. And God, I thank you that even when change and transition hit our life, it doesn't need to define us because you already have. God, would you just solidify our identity in Christ in the non-changing, never-changing, yesterday, today, and forever identity that we can have in you. Take us from glory to glory to glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.